Well, I did just want to make mention this morning that we do have our time of praise night and communion tonight at 6 p.m., a time in which we give praise and we glorify the only one who deserves it, which is our Lord and Savior, right? So we want to give praise to him. So look forward to that time of testimony and the time of communion, remembering what he's done for us and that time of the body coming together. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 begins to talk about this whole thing of being ambassadors for Christ. In 1 Timothy as well, if you were to look with me in chapter 3, as Paul begins to tell Timothy why it's so important that things really ought to be a certain way within the household of God, why it's so necessary. He says in verse 14, he says, I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you. This is chapter 3, verse 14, 1 Timothy. These things to you, hoping to come to you before long, but in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God. Why? Because the church is to be the pillar and support of the truth. And so we realize that there's nowhere else in the world that is going to begin to elevate and guard God's word and truth and the gospel that God has called the church to be the pillar and support of truth. If you were to look with me in Acts chapter 18, I'm thinking about this passage really since the time of VBS a couple weeks ago. And as you drop on down to the end of Acts chapter 18, you have this man by the name of Apollos. It tells us in verse 24, if you'd look with me, that you have a certain Jew named Apollos. Tells us he's an Alexandrian by birth, which if you're familiar, we've got, of course, the great library there. It's considered a hub of learning in this time. Pretty learned folks, we would say, that begin to come from that region. Says he was an eloquent man. He came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in spirit. He was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. So up to this point, we begin to see this man. He's well-learned, a very eloquent man. And it even begins to say that he's speaking, teaching accurately things concerning Jesus, but there seems to be something missing. Well, here you come. You have, as we were introduced earlier in the chapter, two tent makers that had been with Paul. It says, Priscilla and Aquila heard him. They took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. You see, that is the pillar and support of truth that is an ambassador to Christ, is that there's something missing. What matters to those that are called in that way is that the truth of God, the gospel, be clear, and that be the most important thing. You see, they don't do it in a brash way. They begin to take him aside, but what seems to matter more than anything is that that gospel message be clear, that it not be missing anything, that it, be the truth that's upheld by the church. You know, I was thinking during that week of Vacation Bible School, and I appealed to Miss Carol Ireland if she would come up and join me for just a moment. You actually had a time, you began to come to me, and you actually took me aside for a moment. And I got to be Apollos, you got to be Priscilla and Aquila for a moment. But there was something that you felt the Lord had just began to stir your heart, that there was an opportunity in making the gospel clear, that you felt the Lord burden your heart to make sure we didn't miss that. And I remember you came over to me. We were standing right back over there by the memory verses, and you go, Pastor James, I don't want this to come across. I'm not wanting to be critical, but you just had to say something. And you had come, and for those that aren't there with us during the week, we give an opportunity for the children to raise their hand to pray to receive Christ as their Savior each day. And you had kind of had been about a day or two in, and you, as you were seeing how things were going throughout the week, that you really felt the Lord burden your heart that you needed to share some things that he had taught you about how to make it clear to those children that even if maybe some of the words are right, that maybe there was opportunity missed in some of those instances. And the Lord just wouldn't let you rest with it. I could tell you came and there's things that were really burdened on your heart. And so I'd hope maybe you could share, why was that such an important thing to you? How did God burden you in that way? I'll let you kind of come over. So
okay, well, just to set it off with scripture, in Matthew 19, it says in verse 13, then children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And children have always been kind of special to me. I have worked with them for many years. And, you know, I remember using this little lesson of two candles. And I had a great big candle and I had a little candle. And I said to the people, which one do you think will shine the brightest for the Lord? And everybody, oh, the big candle. No, it's the little candle. Because the little candle has many, many years to grow. A child has many years to grow in the Lord. Myself, my husband, we have a few years left, but not like Levi has left, or Sammy, or Emma. So we really have to work with these children, that they have a great foundation in the Lord, and that they understand what they're doing, and that when they come to Christ, it might not even be their first time that they come, because I dealt with several children who raised their hand several times, but their heart was still there. They really wanted Jesus in their heart. And so it's a great privilege to work with them. And I just mentioned a few things, like when we work with children, we're so used to our Christian terms, like faithful and even scriptures. Many children don't know what you're referring to when you say the word scripture, but if you say God's word or the Bible, then they have a better understanding. Or what is faithful to them? Faithful to them is keeping your promise, and God keeps his promise. So just a few little things that we can work with in working specifically with children, so they really get the true picture of how much God loves them.
Thank you, Ms. Carol. And we actually had a time you got to share with the workers that next morning some of those things that were really on your heart. And I don't know if I had circled back to tell you or not, but we had a number of different ones come up that were so encouraged. And God had been really, there had been something in their heart that was missing and how they could best share that. And God really equipped through that time. And when we talk about being ambassadors for Christ, when we talk about being the pillar and support of truth, that's all of us. And I so appreciated your heart, Miss Carol, in that mattered to you above everything, is that they didn't leave this building without knowing exactly that gospel message. And as best as we could, that we were upholding that through that time. And we know that their little hearts were in God's hands the whole time as they left, but we could have confidence that we gave them that message as clearly as we could. You know, I'm encouraged you go to the end of this passage in 18. It begins to talk more about Apollos. It says, verse 27, when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him, wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. You begin to watch how the Lord uses different ones in the body. And he's called us to do this thing together. And if we're going to be the ambassadors for Christ, if we're going to be those that stand as pillars in support of the truth, the clarity of that message has got to come first and foremost. That it's a responsibility and a calling God's given us. And it doesn't mean that we're always in a position of a teacher. But the same burden should be on each of our heart. That in whatever opportunity God gives us, that best as we can, we wouldn't leave that interaction without making it clear. And then we step back and we watch the Spirit of Christ begin to work on that heart. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for the way that you begin to knit the body together. You bring different ones at different times to begin to encourage in this way. And Lord, you've called us to make truth clear. You've called us to be a light where you've placed us. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunities you give us to proclaim the gospel. Thank you for the opportunities you give us to come alongside and instruct in the Word of God. May we do so accurately. May we do so to be accurately representing who you are and what truth is. So we thank you for the privilege of getting to serve you and getting to serve together with one another. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.